Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes.
Okay. Thank y'all for what y'all do. I was just talking to myself. It's fine. So, I'm not going to lie. I struggled this week on what to talk about. What do you talk about after such a big Sunday last week where we celebrated Pastor Nolan's last day, and we kind of celebrated the culmination of a season here at Foley United Methodist Church. It was fantastic day of celebration, but it was also sad because it ended a season that we had been in here, and it was an incredible season. 5 years of revitalization and just being brought back to life, having the Spirit breathed into us, having clarification on what our purpose is and where God is calling our church to join with Him in His mission at Foley. And I was really struggling on what to talk about, and so I started my search with the idea that I would talk about how it's not just one person's calling to be a disciple. It's not one person's job to be a minister to anybody. God calls all of us to be ministers and to be a part of His work wherever we're at. And as I started looking through the Bible and looking at different examples of where God is calling each and every person to be involved, I found myself in 1 Peter. And when I looked at 1 Peter and kind of looked at what Peter was talking about in these letters and why he was writing these letters, I really found what I felt like is where we're at as a church. So Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter to the church as a whole, to Christians all throughout the world, because of the situation they found themselves in. Because it was during this time in the life of the church that persecution was at its highest. In Jerusalem, the Jews were persecuting Christians because they were trying to help forget Jesus. They were trying to get Christians to forget all about that Jesus incident. And then all throughout the world, the Roman world, the Romans were trying to stamp out anybody who was Christ-like. The followers of Jesus, they were trying to persecute them and just drown them out underneath the noise because the Romans liked their way of life. So several churches had been broken up. These house churches had been stamped out. And it was just a rough time for the church. So Peter sat down and wrote this letter as kind of a reminder and kind of an encouragement for all those that believed. And so today we're going to be reading out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 25. And when I read these verses, it just really sunk in, and it just made me feel like, man, this is what I needed to hear right now in this moment. And so I'm hoping it's what you need to hear right now in this moment as well. I think this is what our church needs to hear. So you can look on the screens beside me. We're going to start. I'm reading out of the Message version because I like the way it sounds. You can pull out your phone or your tablet and you can open up your Bible app. Whatever you need in order to really immerse yourself into this scripture, I encourage you to do so. So follow along as we read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. So roll up your sleeves. Get your head in the game. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. You call out to God for help, and He helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, He's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it is only lately, at the end of ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your life depends on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life, its beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers wilt, God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. These are the words of God. They are true and they can be trusted. I don't know about you, but my life revolves around routine. So I work a full-time job as a police officer in Orange Beach. This job is a part-time job. I have a family. My life is full. My life is busy. I was talking to somebody before the 8 o'clock service, and they're like, I don't know how you do it. Well, I'll tell you how I do it. It's routine. As much of the same thing that I can handle, that's what I try to do. Because that if I just get in this routine, it's just one step after the other. I know what I'm supposed to do next. I just take another step. That's all I got to do. But when challenges happen, when things occur in my life that upset that routine, things get a little hard. I really have to decide how I'm going to respond to that. I think that's where we are as a church as well. For the past 5 years, we've had a really good routine. We have done a lot of good stuff. We have seen God work and move in powerful ways. But Pastor Nolan got reappointed, so we find ourselves in this as a church going, wait a second, this is messing up our routine. It's changing the way we do things. And now we have to decide how we're going to respond as a church and as people. Peter writes this letter to a church that was facing challenges. They were being persecuted. They were having to decide how they were going to respond. Are they going to continue to claim to be Christ followers? Or are they going to fold and run and hide under the pressure and give up on the life they've been called to? Are we as a church going to give up on all that God has done over the past 5 years and run and hide because there's a new challenge facing us? Or are we going to stick to what we know? Are we going to stick to following our one true follower? Because the truth of the matter is that the voice of the church may be changing, but the leader of the church is not. The leader of our church is Jesus, right? So I love this first part of the scripture I read, where Peter says, roll up your sleeves. It's time to get to work. Because I think that's what our response has to be right now. When we talk about the four pillars, when we talk about these missional communities, when we talk about having an impact in our community around us, and when we talk about building the kingdom of God here in Foley, Alabama, that's not going to happen unless we do the work. It's not going to happen unless we roll up our sleeves and get ready for all of the challenges we're going to face moving forward. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be people that try to persecute us for trying to build the kingdom of God here in Foley, Alabama. And there's going to be a moment where we can say, we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to roll up our sleeves and get to work? Or are we going to shrink back into the routines that we're comfortable with and that we know? I mean, look at the church history beyond 5 years. There's some of you that are in here that have lived with this church and as a part of this church for a long time. And if you look back, you can see a pattern where the church did good, and then a challenge happened, and they went back to their old ways and said, we'll just get comfortable in this routine. It got to the point where we went through kind of a little stretch where we had some pastoral challenges that happened, and the church responded by just setting a pattern to say, this is how we do things, this is who we are, and we're just going to stick here in this comfortable zone, because whoever comes in or whatever happens, that's them, and we're just going to be us. And if we do that now, then the truth is we're going to die. Because that's not who God calls us to be. That's not what Peter tells us is the right way to respond when we face challenges. Peter tells us when the challenges come, that's the time to get to work. That's the time to bear down. That's the time to stay focused on who it is we truly follow. I love this next part of the scripture where it says life is a journey. And we're challenged to live it with full consciousness of God. Just let that soak in for a second. What does living life with full consciousness of God truly mean? I'll be honest. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not always fully conscious of God. When I go to work in the mornings, when I'm having to deal with people at the police department, I'm not fully conscious of God. I know God. I know God in my heart. I know God in my brain. But I can't say that I'm living my life fully conscious of God. How about the church? Does the church live their life fully conscious as God, of God? I mean, you could say yes, but you can also say no. I'll be honest, there's times when I come to church where I'm like, okay, I'm putting on my pastor hat. I'm getting into my next job, and so I'm ready to be fully conscious of God. But it's like I'm changing outfits into that full consciousness, out of my worldly life that I live in my routine of. I think we do that as a church too. There are times when things are going really good and we're focused on God and we're growing and we're kind of figuring out where he's calling us to be active, and we as a church say, okay, yeah, we're ready and we're willing and we understand God is here and present and we're staying focused on him. But then a challenge comes, like a pastoral change, like persecution from the community, like somebody not liking us, and we say, let me take this hat off, my consciousness of God hat, and let me put on my comfortable hat, where I can just smooth everything out and get back into the routine of things. Do you see that in your life? Times where you're conscious of God, but times where you live in a routine or you live your worldly life out, just going day by day and step by step. Peter stresses the importance of this consciousness of God by reminding us that we are bought and paid for. Think about that. You have been bought and paid for. Those nice shoes you're wearing, you bought and paid for. The car you're driving out in the parking lot, you bought and paid for. The tools, the house, everything you own, you bought and paid for. How do you treat those things? Some of those things that you really care about, you take really good care of. Some of those things that you bought as a toy don't get taken that good care of. Peter's reminding us that we're the most precious things to God, and he bought and paid for us, and he wants to take the best care of us that he possibly can. He wants to give us this incredible life. And our only choice, our only correct choice, proper choice, is to respond to that by being fully aware of God in every moment of our life. Do we do that? Do we do that as individuals? Do we do that as a church? Are there times in our lives where we try to take back control, where we try to push God to the side or put him in the back of our minds, and we try to handle everything on our own, and we're not really aware of all that God has done or is doing for us? We're not really paying attention to the life he's calling us to be, calling us to live. Do we do that as a church, where when struggle happens, we forget that we're following God, we forget that God bought and paid for us, and we kind of try to fix the problem and shrink in on ourselves and just do the things we know how to do, and we forget that God is calling us over to a new place and a new challenge and a new life? You know, one of the things that I think about sometimes about my own self is that God calls us into a life that impacts the people around us. It impacts the people in our lives. It interjects God into my world. That's the life God calls us to. But if I really am honest with myself, that's not always the case, especially when I find myself in those routines and I find myself drawn to my old habits. I can't say that I'm impacting my life in a godly way, or I'm impacting people in my life in a godly way, because I'm too busy just fitting in and making things work. I'm not fully conscious of God, therefore I'm not making an impact and interjecting God into anybody around me, into any situation around me. But that's who we're called to be. That's the life we're called to live. That's what the purchase of God is supposed to bring forth in our life. When God purchased us and we accept that and we understand that Jesus died for us and we're promised this new life through his resurrection, that's supposed to make a change in our life. That's supposed to be the only thing we think about in life. That's supposed to shine through us. That's supposed to impact people around us. That's supposed to be the defining character of who we are. But I ask you, is it in your life? If not, how do you remind yourself to be more conscious of God? How do you remind yourself to be more aware of God? What do you need to do in order to make this a reality? Is it time for you to roll up your sleeves in your life and say, I've been bought and paid for. This is a life that I've been promised. This is a life I've been brought into. And this is what my life, my new life, is supposed to look like. I cannot keep clinging to that old life and that old safe routine that I've lived for 45 years or 50 years or 20 years or 14 years. I've got to start living a new life. I mean, think about the church as a whole being persecuted, and all they want to do is shrink and hide. That's who Peter was writing to, and Peter says, no, you can't shrink and hide. You can't go back to the old way of life. You can't go back to what you knew beforehand because of everything you've learned now. Everything you've been taught, everything you've been shown, everything that's happened to you in Jesus won't allow you to go back. You have to fight that urge. That's why he said roll up the sleeves. It's time to fight that urge to shrink back to who we were and to live into who we're called to be. And that's what this third section of the letter is about. Where we're not born of mere mortal man. We're born of God's word now. Once we've heard God's word, once we've eaten God's word, once we've taken it into our lives, it speaks new life into us. It breathes new life. It changes who we are. It changes our DNA. It makes us like God. It calls us to live like God. It calls us to be like God. And what it tells us is that we have to love like our lives depend on it. We have to love one another like our lives depend on it. Listen to that. Love one another like your lives depend on it. Do you do that? I don't do that. When times are good, I do. When I wake up in a good mood, when I put on my pastor hat, I do. When I get ready to do a snack bag giveaway and I have a big group meeting with everybody and I say, okay, we're here to love on everybody. We're here to be joyful. We don't care what they drive. We don't care what they look like. We're going to love them regardless. We're not going to let them feel judged when they drive through the car line because all we're going to do is love them. Yeah, I'm ready to do it then. But when I wake up in a bad mood because I didn't sleep good, when I go to work and that one person that I work with just drives me crazy, he's in my office, and he's from wherever, and I just can't stand the sound of his voice, and he won't quit talking. Do I look at him and say, okay, I've got to love him like my life depends on it? When you wake up in the morning and you're grumpy and your spouse is grumpy and y'all look at each other the wrong way and you argue, do you look at the spouse and say, I've got to love this one like my life depends on it? Or do you just say, go away? I need some me time. When we're a church that are going through a challenge, that's going through a transition, do we come together and say, we have to love each other like our lives depend on it? Or do we start to find ourselves shrinking back into our old ways and say, well, I'm going to go to my group. You go to your group. We'll let them handle that. We'll take care of this. This is our space. That's their space. This is our thing. That's their thing. What does it mean to love one another as if your life depends on it? What if you couldn't take a breath unless you loved somebody? God bought and paid for us with Jesus. And Jesus died for us because he loved us like his life depended on it. God's word speaks new life into us. It recreates our DNA inside of us. But this new life we're given depends on whether we can love each other or not. whether we can love the people that God brings into this place, whether we can love the people that God has placed in our lives around us. And it's not going to be easy. And there are going to be times where you just want to shrink into your routine and ignore everyone else around you. Because really, let's face it, that's the life the world calls us to. Just be you. You do you. You be you. Be whoever you want to be. But that's not the life God calls us to be. God calls us to be intertwined with Him and with one another. And He calls us to live that way because our life depends on it when we follow God. Because when the world around us tries to push us down, tries to persecute us, tries to break us apart, tries to remind us that there's a different way of living, God says, in this new life that I speak into you every breath you take, there's one way to be, and that's by loving one another always. Because if you don't, you won't live into the life I've called you to, the life I have for you. The worldly life is comfortable, it's easy, but it's short-lived. It's like grass when we don't get enough water and it turns brown. It's like the wildflowers that are seasonal and they pop up for a week or two and then they dry out. That's the worldly life, that's the easy life. That's what happens if we don't face the challenges the right way. But if the challenges are thrown at us, if the persecution is thrown at us, and we roll up our sleeves and we say, we're going to live into this life that God's given us, that God's called us to, that God's word speaks into us. And if we say, we're going to love like our life depends on it, then we will reap the rewards when Jesus comes. And the best part about all of it is that God bought and paid for us, so we know we can trust Him. That's what Peter says. God knew what He was doing all along. He knew He was going to sacrifice His Son and redeem His Son. And that resurrection is the promise to each and every one of you that God will breathe new life into you, that God will come through if you're ready to do the work. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for You. Grateful that You have bought and paid for each and every single one of us. Lord, we're grateful that Your Son was willing to die for us, and that You resurrected Your Son to show us the life You have for us, to give us that promise of a new life, a bigger life, a better life. Lord, but we recognize it's not easy. We recognize that there are going to be challenges in our lives. There are going to be times where we struggle. There's going to be things that happen, and all we want to do is withdraw to that comfortableness of our old routine. We're going to want to shrink back into that mindset that it's all about me and I just need to take care of me. And when people are around us that aggravate us, we're not going to want to love them. We're just going to want to stick to our routine and shut people out that don't fit it. But Lord, you call us to a life that's bigger. Your word speaks new life into us. It challenges us. It calls us to be prepared, to be ready to roll up our sleeves and fight the good fight. Fight the fight that strengthens us that love overflows from within. So, Lord, help us to begin to live in that space with that truth and that knowledge that it's not our love that we live by, but yours. It's not our love that we love one another with, but yours. So, Lord, with your love, help us to love all those you've placed in our lives. Help us to face every single challenge that comes about with the trust and the knowledge that you've already bought and paid for us. And that the life you speak into us is already there. And that we can love with your love always. In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's so easy to be in this room and in this holy moment and to feel good and have our armor on, as Pastor John was talking about, and then when we get out in the world and somebody pulls out in front of us, we get angry and irritated, and that armor of God goes out the window. And I have thought of this countless times. Lord, why do I do that? Why do I forget? And there's a song that comes on the radio that says, I get amnesia. And sometimes I think, that's it, I get amnesia. But this past week in Bible school, one of the lessons to the kids was, you represent God. People look at you and they see God. And people look at us and they see God. And my only answer to this is, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. So y'all sang it a minute ago, and we're going to sing it again now. But my only answer is, Lord, we need you. We are human and we are not perfect. God, we need you. Every hour we need you. So let's stand and close together, friends. Lord, I need you. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. This week, as our friends leave this place, God, that we are reminded of you constantly. When somebody pulls out in front of us, God, when we are going to answer somebody that we're not happy with, God, I pray that you step in front and you just take over, God, because we want to represent you well. Lord, we love you. Lord, please be with us and keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, it's been fun worshiping with you this morning. I pray blessings on your week, and we hope to see you back next week. Blessings.